Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines today, Saturday, September 19th, Europe races to contain rising coronavirus infections. Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations, addresses the Human Rights Council of the UN regarding the situation in Belarus. And we end with Pope Francis, who spoke to a pharmaceutical charity on Saturday, saying medicine must be made available to everyone. In the Vatican, I'm Sister Bernadette Reese. Europe is racing to contain rising coronavirus infections amid concerns there may be more hospitalizations and deaths. Authorities in several countries have announced new restrictions, including in Spain, where parts of the capital Madrid are subject to lockdown measures to curb a rise in COVID-19. Stefan Boss reports.
Spain's government, which saw one of Europe's toughest lockdowns, has a new warning to its citizens. More than 850,000 people in the Madrid region will face limits on groups travel and sizes from Monday. It comes as coronavirus infections across Europe continue to spike, with Spain reporting one of the highest numbers of COVID-19 cases. Madrid is once again the worst hit region. Spain was already among the hardest hit European nations during the first wave of infections. Spanish authorities claim the country lost more than 30,000 lives due to the pandemic. But other nations are also bracing for the second wave of coronavirus infections as winter approaches. The Irish government, for instance, announced strict new COVID-19 measures for the capital Dublin. Authorities are banning indoor restaurant dining and advise against all non-essential travel. Ireland, one of the slowest countries in Europe to emerge from lockdown, has seen average daily case numbers roughly double in the past 2 weeks. That worries Irish Prime Minister Michael Martin, who fears a significant increase in hospitalizations and deaths.
All across Europe, the COVID-19 virus is regaining its foothold and spreading at a rate not seen since March and April. In the past 2 weeks alone, the majority of countries have seen a doubling of new cases. And on our island, while the pattern varies in different counties, the threat is growing.
The Netherlands was among other European countries announcing stricter measures on Friday, citing an increase in infections. Hungary, Romania, the Czech Republic and Slovakia have announced a record number of new cases this week. For Radio Vaticana, Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos in Budapest.
And moving to Belarus, the use of excessive force and human rights violations against peaceful protesters in that country was the topic of a debate on Friday in Geneva before the United Nations Human Rights Council. This debate took place within the 45th session of the Human Rights Council and was entitled On the Situation of Human Rights in Belarus. Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic, the Holy See's permanent observer to the UN, also addressed the council. In his remarks, Jurkovic said the Holy See has been following the situation in Belarus since the elections took place. He said the Holy See renews its appeal for a peaceful and just resolution to the tensions through sincere dialogue, the rejection of violence, and respect for justice and fundamental human and civil rights. He recalled the recent visit of Archbishop Richard Paul Gallagher, the Holy See's Secretary for Relations with States, which took place from the 11th to the 14th of September. Through that visit, the Holy Father has demonstrated a particular and tangible solicitude for the whole country, and especially for the local Catholic Church, the Archbishop explained. He expressed the hope that Gallagher's visit might bring about a deeper understanding of the ecclesial mission of the Church and of the instrumental role that it plays in fostering social reconciliation and national cohesion. Specifically addressing the protests taking place, Jurkovic expressed the Holy See's position that it is indispensable that demonstrators present their requests peacefully. It is also necessary, he said, that governing authorities exercise restraint and listen to the voices of their citizens and remain open to their just aspirations, assuring full respect for their civil and human rights. These words are an echo of Pope Francis's words after the Angelus this past Sunday. Djurkovic ended saying that the Holy See desires a peaceful and rapid resolution to the ongoing tensions. To that end, he said, the Holy See remains open to being a part of any further discussion that may bring about much-needed peace. Just a little over 2 years ago, Pope Francis made an apostolic visit to Ireland for the World Meeting of Families. Many remember the Pope celebrating Mass in Dublin's Phoenix Park. Others still speak of the electric atmosphere of the Festival of Families gathering in Croke Park. 2 years on from the meeting, some of those memories have been captured in a new book, which launched virtually on Friday, called Humans of the World Meeting of Families. The publication is a collection of first-person testimonies from the August 2018 event. Bishop Dennis Malty of Kildare and Loughlin launched the book. He is also featured in the publication. He told Lydia O'Kane that the book is not about important people, but about ordinary families and the joys and sorrows of family life.
The interesting thing for this book is this focuses on, and obviously on Pope Francis coming amongst us in August 2018, but many of them refer back to the visit of John Paul II in 1979 to Ireland. And in their testimonies, they remember going maybe on minibuses over to Ballybrit for the youth mass in Galway, or going to the Phoenix Park and leaving their house on the suburbs and walking the feet of themselves to get to the Phoenix Park for the mass, special memories of 79. And then for 2018, they talk about their involvement as volunteers, their involvement on the organizing team, their involvement at a diocesan level as being the diocesan rep, their involvement simply by attending some of the World Meeting of Families events, being involved in the Pastoral Congress, being involved in the Mass at the Phoenix Park, whatever. And it's just so lovely testimonies. The project began really in 2017, a year before the World Meeting of Families, Lydia, as a Facebook project, and it took on a life of its own. There were tens of thousands of reads and views on Facebook, and each one of the testimonies were showing threads of faith. So then I think Brenda decided with the team around her and the communications end of the World Meeting of Families, let's put this in print. This is not about very important people, but it's about ordinary families and the joys and sorrows of family life. I'm going to give you a couple of the testimonies that jumped out at me. I'm going to give you one from Sarah and Declan O'Brien. And they say, no marriage or family is perfect. We've had our times of struggle and suffering. In the darkest moments of our marriage, what helped us to keep on loving each other was having a relationship with Jesus, crucified and forsaken, who said he would take all our sufferings onto himself, and discovering the Focolare movement. They were delighted to be involved in the World Meeting of Families.
That was Bishop Dennis Nolte of the Diocese of Kildare and Loughlin. In the Cathedral of Como on Saturday morning, a memorial mass took place for Father Roberto Malgesini, murdered on Tuesday by a homeless person. Hundreds of people participated both inside and outside the cathedral. Bishop Oscar Cantoni of Como celebrated the mass, and Cardinal Konrad Troyeski, the papal almoner, represented Pope Francis and concelebrated. Pope Francis recalled Father Malgesini during this past Wednesday's general audience and said he is united to the pain his family and the community of Como are feeling. At the end of the Mass, the Cardinal spoke on behalf of Pope Francis. Lydia O'Kane tells us more.
I bring you the Holy Father's greetings and fraternal embrace, Cardinal Krajewski said at the end of the funeral Mass for Father Roberto Malgesini. He is with us. He is united with us in prayer. The Cardinal then related that as soon as the news of Father Malgesini's death reached the Pope, he picked up the words of Como's bishop during the general audience on Wednesday. He read, I give praise to God for the witness that is for the martyrdom of this witness of charity toward the poorest. Father Roberto is dead, therefore he is alive. Love never dies, not even with death, the cardinal continued. He then called to mind a gospel passage that Father Roberto's death incarnates. Greater love than this has no one than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Commenting on this passage, Cardinal Krajewski said, one cannot be a true Christian if we do not make this page our own. That page, the Cardinal reflected, refers particularly to us priests who need to live the gospel in its purity, we who need to spread Jesus' perfume everywhere we go. This is the sentiment expressed in a prayer written by St. John Henry Newman and left by Mother Teresa as a legacy to her sisters in their daily service to the poor. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance wherever I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that my life may only be a radiance of yours. Then, turning to the Bishop of Como, Oscar Cantoni, Cardinal Krajewski ended, saying, I am sure that there are many priests and lay faithful who want to pick up Father Roberto's evangelical work because this path is the true gospel in action. If by any chance no one comes forward, I will come to you.
The offerings collected during and after Father Malgesini's Memorial Mass will be used in the charity sustained by Pope Francis, as well as by the poor of the Diocese of Como. And finally, Pope Francis on Saturday decried the injustice of what he termed pharmaceutical marginality, saying those who live in poverty are poor even in medicines, treatment and health. He made the remarks to some 300 representatives of the Fondazione Banco Farmaceutico, or Medicine Bank Foundation. This Italian-based charity collects medicines nearing expiration from donors and companies and delivers them to over 1,800 charities that take care of people in difficulty. Robin Gomes has more.
Speaking to the Banco Farmaceutico Foundation, or the Medicine Bank Foundation, on its 20th anniversary this year, Pope Francis noted that sometimes people run the risk of not being able to get treatment for lack of money, or because some people in the world do not have access to certain medicines.
Conosciamo il pericolo della globalizzazione dell'indifferenza. Vi propongo invece di globalizzare la cura.
The Pope lamented what he called a pharmaceutical marginality, which creates a further gap between nations and peoples. On the ethical level, he stressed, if there is a possibility of healing a disease with a medicine, this should be available to everyone. Otherwise, it creates an injustice. The Holy Father lamented that too many people and children are still dying in the world because they cannot have the medicine that is available in other regions. Warning against the danger of globalization of indifference, he proposed the globalization of treatment, which is the possibility of having access to those medicines that could save so many lives for all populations. Pope Francis drew attention to the current pandemic, which he said has claimed nearly a million lives. The major health emergency is turning into a serious economic crisis, which he said is increasing the number of poor people and families who don't know how to go ahead. While charitable assistance is provided, the Pope said, it is also a matter of fighting this pharmaceutical poverty, in particular with the widespread of new vaccines in the world.
Sarebbe triste se nel fornire il vaccino si desse la priorità ai più ricchi.
Pope Francis reiterated, it would be sad if in providing the vaccine, priority is given to the richest, or if this vaccine became the property of this or that country and not for everyone. I am Robin Gomes.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, and to hear this broadcast as a podcast, go to our web portal, www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Sister Bernadette Reese. God bless you all.